Well, hello, I'm Cherie Russell, and I'm a resilience trainer, a counsellor and a psychotherapist, working mainly in corporate and the sporting field. I'm just admitting people as I go, but I'm actually going to record this. So hi to everybody as they jump on board. You can turn your camera off, but it's nice to know there's people out there listening, which is really good. So, hi everyone. Hello. If you want to turn your cameras and your audio off just for the time being, I'm going to talk a little bit, and then what I'll do now is I'll open the chat up. So any questions as I talk, and then we can deal with specifics afterwards. But just to recap, Cherie Russell, I'm a resilience trainer, a counsellor and psychotherapist. I work mainly in corporate and in the sporting field, but as a trained clinical hypnotherapist, I also help clients overcome all kinds of other stresses and crises and trauma within their lives. My initial introduction to the field of psychotherapy was as a result of a friend of mine recovering from chronic illness, and that piqued my interest in psychoneuroimmunology, which is how our type of thoughts influence the brain chemistry, or the chemistry within our bodies and within our brains, and thus influence our wellness or our lack of it. So I know a fair amount about the subject I'm going to talk to you about today, which is about stress. I'm going to talk about stress today, and then I thought next week I'd go on to anxiety. So I've tried to split the two. So what I'll do now is I'll go straight into a little chat. There will be one or two slides, but nothing that if you want to just keep me on audio would be absolutely fine. So let me just turn the camera off. Stop video. So there we go. Okay. So what is stress? Well, stress is actually a very big subject. And funnily enough, you would have thought that it's a psychiatric diagnosis, but it's not. But it is, however, closely linked to our mental health in two important ways. It causes mental health problems and can make existing problems worse. For example, if you often struggle with being able to manage feelings of stress, you might develop a health problem like anxiety or depression. And mental health problems can cause stress. So it's a converse. You might find coping with the day-to-day symptoms of maybe anxiety is causing you stress. So it can start a vicious circle. But essentially, we all know what it's like to feel stressed. And it's not easy to pin down exactly what stress means. When we say things like it's stressful or I'm stressed, we might be talking about situations or events that put pressure on us. For example, times when we have lots to do or think about, or people have an expectation on us. Most of our modern stressors tend to be time related, or what people are expecting of us, or our concern about what we're feeling about other people's opinions. It's also sometimes about our reaction, about being placed under pressure. The feelings that we get when we have demands placed on us and we feel difficult to cope. And it can be overwhelming. So stress can affect us physically as well. In fact, it's designed to save our lives. So if I just click up onto this one and share this screen here, it's actually part of our physical emergency response, our fight, flight, faint, or freeze response, which is instinctive and unconscious. Think startle reflex, the last time something made you jump. That was on the extreme end of the stress scale. You didn't think about it. You just jumped, and invariably, if you're like me, you shrieked as well. It's completely unconscious. The interesting thing is that originally the physical emergency response was just designed to get us away from predators. and as such, potentially only lasted 90 seconds. However, we have long-term stressors. And as I said, you know, generally time-related, pressure-related, expectation-related. And so it's not any longer the saber-toothed tiger which is going to provoke that response. It might be an argument that you have with your spouse, getting stuck in traffic, trying to meet a deadline. But it's the same response that is happening within our mind and body. It's designed just to get energy to our limbs. And in fact, our bodies and brains release a cocktail of hormones and neurotransmitters that increase blood pressure, increase oxygen uptake, and increase something called reflex, instinctive thinking. But to do that, to get the maximum energy to our limbs, this stress response has to steal from other systems that are actually redundant in helping us escape, such as digestion, thinking cleverly, creative thinking, healing, because we don't need to heal unless we've escaped. We don't need to sleep when we're running or fighting. But on a long-term basis, stress can affect the communication between every cell in our body, including that of the brain and the muscles. And that's where I came in way back in 2007, working within the field of psychoneuroimmunology, which is how our type of thoughts literally influence the chemical composition of our body and how we can use that. We can turn around our type of thoughts to affect our wellness and recovery. So just to give you some idea about how anxiety and stress actually affect our emotional state. So when we're excelling, we're cheerful. We can think of solutions. We have a lot of energy. We generally are performing well in our job. We can sleep well. And of course, our bodies recover quickly. And we can get into that flow necessary to be very productive at work or really performance orientated in sport. And we're fully realizing the potential of who we want to be and actively seeking connections. So when we go from excelling and there's a little bit more stress, we go from excelling to thriving, which is still fine. We're in our normal mood. We're generally positive, calm, we're functioning, we're sleeping well, we can focus, we can eat normally, and we can still do all the normal social activity. Then on the next level, something's happened, we're a little more stressed, and we start to feel unsettled, a little bit worried, a bit nervous, a bit edgy, a bit irritable, sometimes frustrated. And then we can get into the self-doubting, the sad and gloomy, maybe getting a little bit sort of reactive depression, trouble sleeping, tired, distracted, and decreased social activity. And then we get into the struggling. And you can start to see the impact that this has on our mental health and also our physical health. We can start to get anxious, depressed and sad, have a low self-esteem, feeling tired all the time. It might affect our performance at work or within our family. We might be absent, have some days off, find we've got poor concentration and poor sleep, or perhaps as a consequence of poor appetite. And in some cases, we start to turn perhaps to drug or alcohol abuse. And then when we're really in crisis, this is what it looks like. Generally, my clients will present to me a very anxious, low mood, having a lot of days off work because they're sick or generally exhausted, starts to feel physical pains within their body and a sense of isolation, sense of aloneness. sleep suffers, weight loss, or ironically, weight gain, and sometimes psychotic breakdowns and leading to severe substance abuse in some cases. So the place to actually start to get some help is really when you're moving into struggling. From struggling to unsettled, we can tend to rely on our social connections and our loved ones to help us through a stressful situation. But the place to really get help is when we're struggling and when we're in crisis. Okay. So what kind of situations can cause stress? Well, all kinds of personal situations, you know, illness or injury, pregnancy, long-term health problems, organising a complicated event, less so, I'm afraid, at the moment, but, you know, everyday tasks like looking after parents, bereavement, obviously, or personal trauma, but also helping friends and family, you know, getting over a breakup or getting divorced, or maybe having difficult relationships with siblings or children, or being a carer. Then, of course, there are stressors that are to do with our employment and our study, you know, concern over our employment, concern over retirement or exams or deadlines, or taking on new roles at work or starting a new job. And then all pervading the money worries. The money, the housing, everything that we're going through at the moment with COVID. So why do certain things make us feel stressed? Well, it's our perception generally of the situation. And that might be connected to past experiences. Our perception is always to do with the story that we're telling ourselves. We always do a reflection in the mirror of memory to prepare for a situation that we're going to find ourselves in. So if the story we're telling ourselves is fairly negative, then our brain and our body prepares us to meet something just as negative in the future. And we feel the feelings or the stress or the fear that we would have felt in a previous situation. So other things that can make you feel stressed or impact the degree of which you feel stressed are actually how experienced are you at dealing with that particular type of pressure? You know, are you confident in presenting? Are you confident in a certain role? Is this your first child? How comfortable are you at looking after your siblings and your nephews and nieces? How stressed you might also feel is the amount of other pressures that are influencing you at the time, and also the amount of support you're receiving. And how good are you at bouncing back from stressful situations? And it's that bouncing back which is called emotional resilience. And that being able to switch from one emotional state to another is called emotional agility. And that's the trait that all successful athletes have. That's the parallel that we can draw to help us deal with stresses in our workplace situation. Happy events can cause stress as well. Happy events. So, how can we start to deal with pressures? And there are some various steps that you can take to cope with being under pressure. For example, you might like to identify your triggers, those things that habitually make you feel stressed. Take some time to reflect on events and feelings that could contribute to your stress. And it could be things like issues that come up regularly that you worry about. Job tasks, paying a bill or attending an appointment. It could be things like one-off events that are on your mind, you know, big things, big projects, like taking an exam or moving a house. Or it could just be the ongoing stressful events in your day and in your week. And you might be surprised to find out just how much you're coping with at once. And remember that not having enough work, activities or change in your life can sometimes be just as stressful as having a situation which is too much to deal with. And maybe start to organise your time. Making some adjustments to the way that you organise your time could help you to feel more in control of any task that you're facing and much more able to handle pressure. Identify your best time of day to do the important tasks. You know, you may be a morning or you may be an afternoon person. So organize those tasks within that time of day. And make a list of things you have to do. I always find with to-do lists, it's best to organize three. So your A list will be the one or two things that just have to get done during this day. The B list will be the things that you'd like to get done or ongoing projects that you need to contribute to. And the C list, well, maybe you can delegate some of those, or maybe they're not as urgent or important as you thought they were. You might be able to push back some of the tasks until you're feeling a little less stressed or overwhelmed. And chunk it down. Set smaller and more achievable tasks. When you're under a lot of pressure, it's easy to set yourself large tasks that are often unachievable. And that can make you feel more pressurized and stressed, especially if you can't reach them and then more disappointed and frustrated. So chunk it down. Setting smaller and more achievable goals can help you feel much more in control. And you can see you can measure your achievements. And that gives you a sense of self-efficacy, a sense of empowerment. Vary your activities and don't try to do too much at once. And take breaks and take things slowly. And ask someone if they can help you, perhaps. So those are the practical things to do. I'm going to give you now a breathing exercise to help at times. And also I teach this for in corporate. At Advocate, it's used to punctuate your day. For example, if you're changing tasks throughout the day, then you can use this breathing exercise because the breathing exercise does two or three different things. First of all, it is a very physical way to help you down-regulate that physical emergency response, that fight or flight response, because we can get stuck on orange alert. And from orange alert, it's very easy to go up to red alert and really stressed where stress is having a negative impact on your body. So if you use this exercise to down-regulate your stress response, you're also training your brain because sometimes we forget. Our minds seem to get stuck, rather like those old mercury thermometers you used to have to flick to make all the mercury come back down to the little bowl at the bottom. We can get stuck on orange alert. So a breathing exercise like this can start to train our brain how to down-regulate this physical emergency response, this stress response, so that we find a new level. We can go back down because remember the stress response was only designed to last 90 seconds. Because when we came out of the swamp with it, and it was designed to save our life from a predator, we either ran, we fought, or essentially we were lunch. So it didn't need to last more than 90 seconds. So what should happen is we get stressors in our life, and then we can downregulate them. So let me just pull something up for you. Oh, no, actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a file in the chat. And I'll go through this with you at the same time. Okay. So this is called 4-7-8 breaths. And when you practice this for the first few times, just put your hands on your abdomen, because if your abdomen moves out, then you're breathing down to the bottom of your lungs. If it doesn't, you're doing what typically stressed people do, and that's only using the top part of your lungs. So you need to take full deep breaths. And so you breathe into your count of four, hold that breath for your count of seven, and then breathe out through your mouth to your count of eight. Keep it in rhythm and don't do more than four at any one time, because you can get lightheaded when you're not used to breathing properly. So if you just practice that and use it to punctuate your day, you'll find that your inner mind gets so much quicker at being able to moderate, to turn down that stress response. And also, a byproduct of this is that we don't normally hold our breath. And in holding our breath, this way of breathing encourages our brains to give us a little bit of serotonin, which is the feel-good hormone. So when you've done four cycles of this, just notice how you feel. It generally relaxes us, makes us feel a lot more comfortable, and able then to go back to perhaps a difficult task in hand. I use it quite a lot as a preparation, because the other thing is it in releasing that serotonin and down-regulating that stress, we can go back into clever thinking. We come out of reflex thinking, where we just needed to run or fight, not think about it, but we can start to think cleverly again. We can start to come up with solutions and different options that we wouldn't have done when we were very stressed. So this really is a very powerful tool. It's deceptively simple, but it's also the tool that I give my young people at exam time. I see an awful lot of young clients at exam time, you know, and very often they're having what they call panic attacks as well. So this is the first thing that I teach them, how to down-regulate their physical emergency response and stop those panic attacks. And I think the best thing to understand in a stressful situation is the acceptance that there are some things that you probably can't do anything about, but focus your time and your energy on what you can. It's that lovely old prayer, isn't it? The serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept what I can't change, the courage to change what I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So on that note, I'm going to pop back on screen and answer any questions, if you've got any questions. If anybody's got any questions?
No, not a question. Just wanted to say that was really helpful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Laura. anytime you can always give me a call or text me. You know, there's so many more techniques and things, but it's a question of just starting with one, not to throw the whole book at you at the moment.
Well, I've saved the breathing thing on my desktop. That'll be really handy.
Oh, brilliant.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Publicise it. Send it around. Actually, what I'll do as well, I've got a little I'll send a little video link to Sarah, and she can get that around for me. It's just a basically, I can't remember what they call them. Oh, Lumen 5. It's an animated. It just teaches you how to do it. So, yeah, cool. Thank you for your comment. Any other questions? Any other questions? Anybody want to say anything? Okay. Well, you know where to find me. If there's anything I can help you with, it would be an absolute pleasure. And thank you. Bye for now.